He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
So here we are in beautiful Vernon, British Columbia. What do you think about that?
I'm just loving it here. I'm looking at the birds. We have some quail running in the backyard. It's beautiful. And magpies. Magpies are like a crow, but they're prettier.
I grew up with magpies in Alberta, in Calgary. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Farmers don't like them, but I always liked them. They are a pretty bird. They're quite smart, too.
No, there you go.
And what was the first thing that we did when we got here? What was the main thing to get organized?
Well, I know that we joined a gym.
There you go.
That's
the anchor. And we went to a couple and checked them out. And the one that we chose, why did we choose it? It was fantastic service.
Exactly. Plus, they give your water. You can fill up your water with this fresh filtered water. And then you get a towel service. And they have a steam. And it's quaint. It's a small gym, but it's extremely friendly.
Very friendly. Ken, the owner, is a really nice dude, and it's got everything I need. It's got a couple of squat racks. It's got the weights. You know, you go into a gym and you think, okay, does it have what I need to get the job done? Is it clean? How's it managed? What are the change rooms like? That kind of stuff. And
it's really clean. That's what I like.
It met all of the standards that we have, and we have some pretty high standards.
You betcha, booby.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so let's get into it. What's cooking?
What's cooking is avocados. Now, we use avocados on a regular basis, and instead of using mayonnaise in any sandwich that we would have or wrap, we use mashed avocado. So I think that's a really great idea for you to get into instead of having mayonnaise, unless you make your own mayonnaise, which can be kind of tricky to make sometimes. But the avocado is a tree native to central Mexico, and it's classified in the flowering plant family. The avocado or alligator pear, which I think is kind of a neat thing as an alligator pear because it looks like alligator skin, also refers to the fruit, botanically a large berry that contains a single seed of the tree, which may be pear-shaped, egg-shaped, or spherical. Avocados are commercially valuable and are cultivated in tropical and Mediterranean climates throughout the world. Did you know that, Corey?
Yeah, because I have picked avocados.
What haven't you done?
I don't have a concubine of 1,000
beautiful
women.
All right,
I haven't done that one yet. But avocados grow in Israel. I learned how to pick them and raise them and grow them. And then, of course, in Hawaii, duh. And in all those regions that are warm enough to facilitate them, you know, I think they grow down in Central America, in South America, also parts of Africa. So they're a staple food for a lot of people.
Oh, they're wonderful. They provide 18 essential amino acids necessary for the body to form complete protein. Unlike a steak, which is typically denatured through cooking, an avocado protein is readily absorbed by the body because avocados are consumed raw.
Right. When you cook protein, the protein's denatured. The bonds that hold the amino acids together, they're ruptured or damaged or cross-linked. And that's why eating raw flesh, raw animal flesh, is better to digest it. We're not talking about risk of infection or contamination. We're just talking about the digestion, the absorption.
Right.
So if you can get protein that's raw, that's why we love whey protein isolate.
Right.
Although the milk is pasteurized, it hasn't been denatured to the same degree that, say, a McDonald's hamburger would be. Or
McDonald's hamburger.
Or pepperoni or salami. You know, the meats that a lot of people eat, they're really denatured. Plus, they're loaded with all kinds of crud that you don't want.
Right. So if you're trying to cut down on animal sources of protein in your diet, or if you're vegetarian, vegan, or a raw foodist, seeking more protein, then avocados are really a great nutritional ally to include merely not as an occasional treat, but as a regular part of your diet. Sometimes when I get a little peckish, I'll just eat an avocado. And it's just so darned delicious. And one of the things we were just talking to a friend of ours the other day was if you could only have, let's say you're stuck out on a desert island somewhere and you only had one food you could eat. You said sardines for you, and I said medjool dates. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe the avocado would be the way for me to go.
Yeah, now if you had to live on that long term, let's say 2 years, and you couldn't eat anything except avocados, I think that you could survive. You could. There's enough in there to keep you going. But sardine, provided you ate it raw, would be up much higher in protein. There's virtually no carbs, so you'd be on a carb-free diet. And you just have to eat more of them to sustain yourself with energy. But I'd still go with that one if I had to choose. I think
sardine?
Your brain and your nervous system, because it's got the elements from the sea, although avocados are very nutritious, there's no doubt.
But, you know, I guess depending on how hungry I was, I'd eat a raw sardine, depending on how hungry I was, you know.
Well, it's just a game you play. What's the single best food, right?
Exactly. But avocados provide a healthy kind of fat that your body needs, like olive oil. Avocados boost the HDL, which is our good cholesterol. Avocados are an excellent source of carotenoids, although many people associate carotenoids with only red and orange produce. Avocados are also an excellent source of this phytonutrient. And combined with a deluxe package of nutrients contained in avocados, it offers powerful anti-inflammatory benefits. Vitamin C, vitamin E, carotenoids, selenium, zinc, phytosterols, essential fatty acids. Now, if you have suffering from any type of inflammation, athletes, this is a fantastic food to have. Is avocados. Incorporate one in your diet every day. Put it on top of salads. Like I said, eat it raw. If you want to put it on top of a cracker or on top of your bread, any type of really healthy bread you eat instead of mayonnaise, like I mentioned, avocados the way to go.
Well, yeah, like spreading it on the bread instead of mayonnaise for sure. Now, the neat thing about avos is that, okay, they're very high in fat. Like I'm just looking at a Nutrition Facts breakdown, 35 grams fat, 20 grams carb, and 5 grams protein. Now, of the 20 grams of carbs, 16 grams is fibrous. It's really fibrous. Like this, it's a good source of fiber.
Yeah, you wouldn't think, would you?
But when you look at percentage, it's 19% carb, 77% fat, 4% protein. So people say, oh, wow, man, that's like way too high in fat.
Yes.
But these are good fats, healthy fats, and when you consume them in the right proportion and right balance, you have a wonderful resource of energy there.
And I'm going to be eating a lot more of them because here in the Okanagan, which is the desert area of Canada, it gets very dry, and I already know I'm just so dried up. So I've upped my fats, my essential fatty acids, in my protein shake. I'm doing double the amount. I'm going to incorporate. We do eat avocado maybe 3 times a week. We incorporate it in our salads. But I think I'm going to be doing one a little bit more because when my skin starts to get really dry, then I up my fats. And like Udo Erasmus says, that take the fat until your skin gets soft. So I'm working on it.
Yeah, no, avos aren't strong in omega-3. They do have omega-3, but they're essentially high in omega-6. Looking at some ratio figures here, the potassium-sodium balance is fantastic. There's 61 times more potassium than sodium. One avocado's got over a gram of potassium. That's fantastic. The magnesium levels are high, higher than calcium. So it's a good source of magnesium and potassium. And who doesn't
need more? This would really help
stuff?
You if you have any troubles with constipation as well, right?
Because
of the fiber and the magnesium.
No doubt about it.
Exactly. So not knowing this, there's over 500 types of avocados. Who'd have thought? But the two we typically find in the grocery stores are Haas and Fiarte. So you want to choose a dark, shiny avocado and avoid the ones with cracks or softened, sunken spots in them. Choose one that have a small, pinched neck versus just round at the top. This means that they're picked when they're ripe, so the flavor will be better. And
yeah, it's like kind of like choosing a girl, right, from a guy's point of view?
Whatever.
They shouldn't be too hard, just soft in the right places.
That's right. Oh. So to test for ripeness, give a gentle squeeze, and they should yield slightly but not be overly soft. And if the avocado is really firm, you want to store it at room temperature. And this is interesting. To speed up the ripening process, place the avocado in a paper bag with a banana. And then once it's ripe, then you want to eat it right away or refrigerate it until it's ready to use. So that's kind of interesting. I usually buy them when they're not, unless if I need it right away. Sometimes it's really hard to find ready-to-go ripened avocado in the grocery store.
Yep.
And they usually put them on sale if they're overripe. So what you want to do is you can buy them when they're not as ripe and then take them home, and you can use them within a couple of days. So start to incorporate more avocado in your diet. They taste fantastic in salads. Just chop them all up, and away you go.
Yeah. Now, also for children, for babies,
yes.
When Michael was weaned around 1 year of age and he started to get more interested in food, he was really picky and didn't really eat much. Now, he's an ecto. He's got a high metabolic drive. He requires a lot of energy. He just loved avocados. And I think for, I don't remember exactly, but like 3 to 6 months, that's all we fed him because that's all he wanted. We try other foods. You know how they reject certain foods and then they change? Well, he loved avocados. He was eating like 3 of them a day. So, you know, we had the house full of them. We were all eating them. But there are cultures where babies are raised on avocados and papaya, and you know, you just mush it up with a spoon. You cut the avocado in half, you mush it up, and you feed it right to the baby, right out of the avocado itself. You don't need a bowl or any fancy jars or nothing.
Max likes them, and Ruby did too. And then when you want to get the pit out, what you do is take a sharp knife, slam it into the pit, and then twist it.
Right.
And it just comes out right away. So, yeah, that's great for babies, too. It's great for everybody, even like the elderly who don't have good teeth or can't eat hardened foods. Get them into eating the avocados because it's a really good source of the good essential fats and fiber and all the other...
And it has a high fullness factor. Like, if you sat down there and just started eating them, you might be able to get through a couple, but by that time, chewing them and swallowing, the fiber content is so high and the satisfaction level is high that it provides more satisfaction. When you're finished, you're kind of like satisfied for several hours afterwards.
And also, right around the skin, don't throw away the avocado skin until you've eaten inside, right? That's where most of the nutrients are right beside the skin.
Right.
Right? So that's what to make sure you don't throw that away. So that's that. Get more avocados in your diet, people.
Very good. Awesome. Good advice. Okay, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Wallach. Now, Dr. Wallach does not mince his words, does he?
No, and that's the one I think that everyone needs to listen to more than once. I mean, this guy has incredible knowledge and a history, a background. I mean, how many people have been to Africa and hunted rhinoceroses and elephants? And, of course, he didn't kill them. He just shot them and tranquilized them and studied them and marked them. And, you know, as a veterinarian and a zoologist, he learned so much about nutrition from studying animals.
Well, he's got an interesting story. And I think he started off as a veterinarian, and he did about 17,500 autopsies on animals and thousands of autopsies on adults and children. And he's also in the Smithsonian Museum. And he was up for a Nobel Prize in 1991 for birth defects in animals and humans. So, you know, he's got quite the story. And he believes that there's 90 nutrients that the body absolutely needs, and if you get all of these, you're guaranteed to live 20 to 30 years longer. And one of them is selenium. We don't get enough selenium in our diet.
No. There's lots of data with cancer and selenium and muscular dystrophy and neurological diseases, you know. Selenium is incredibly important. It's a great antioxidant. I remember when the ACEs formula came out, it was A-C-E, and the S, of course, was selenium. And vitamin E always used to be mixed with selenium. You could buy formulas with E and selenium. So that's a good combo as well. But selenium is a very important trace element, and yes, most people are grotesquely low in it.
Well, what interesting, he's given a few recommendations for books, which is Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and he says the average age for doctors is 56. Now, I think he's probably talking about in the United States, and also Dead Athletes Don't Lie. And he says when people go in, the patient goes into the doctor's office, and they said, oh, you're fine, just make sure you eat a healthy diet. He says that he thinks these doctors should be put in jail and left in there without parole. That's pretty...
Pretty heavy, yeah. But he's, you know, coming from a world where he's seen the damage they have done.
Yes, exactly.
And he holds them in contempt, and he believes that they're all aware of what they're doing and participating in a conspiracy to destroy the health of people, or at least feed off the illness and disease and infection that they themselves create by the prescription of the drugs and by misleading people away from health and nutrition.
Well, another one that he really blew me away, which almost brought me to tears, was he talked about muscular dystrophy. And he says even if they're children or adults and they've been wheelchair-ridden for years, he said if they get these specific nutrients inside their bodies, they can get up and walk around and lead a normal life. That's quite a claim.
Yeah, but you know, who does it? Because most people are led to believe that they can't, so they don't, and they believe the crap, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, if you're told you're going to die, usually you'll die.
It's amazing, you know, it just really gives you hope, you know?
Yeah, people need hope. You know, I was reading today about Pandora's box, and she was the first woman on the earth, according to the Greek mythology, but I didn't know that the box was actually a jar, and she opened the jar, and of course all the evils came out, but there was one thing that didn't get out, and it was exactly what you just said. It was the angel of hope.
Oh, honey, that's nice.
Yeah. So hope is critical to humanity and mankind. We must hope for a better tomorrow. We must hope for things to get better. We must have hope. I think it's a big word.
Well, if you lose hope, it's like losing faith, you know, what else is there? You know?
That's right. If you're stuck in a hole and you can't get out and you lose hope, you stop
trying. You lose your will to live. You lose your will to live.
That's right.
And nothing has its zest anymore. Anyways, thank you so much, Dr. Wallach, for your fantastic, outspoken SNU interview.
Right on. Okay, let's move on. What is the latest in our CHI update?
Well, CHI has moved to Vernon, British Columbia, which is the Okanagan that I had mentioned, which is the desert of British Columbia, which has all types of orchards and winemaking, and it really is a destination hotspot in the world. And it does get winter months, which has beautiful skiing here as well. So it gets super duper hot in the summer and cold in the winter with lots of snow.
Yeah, so my vote is we spend the fall and winter in Hawaii.
All right.
And the spring and summer in Vernon.
I think I can handle that. I like that. I like the way you think.
Yeah, that's a good Canadian standard.
Okay.
And, of course, I love the rolling hills here. They're not like the mountains where you grew up in the Kootenays. They're rolling and they're brown, and it's very favorable. I think that the environment, like visually speaking, is very conducive to my own natural makeup. I just love looking at those rolling hills.
Well, I'm really excited because we have a garden, and planting a garden is something I've always wanted to do, and a herb garden. And because it is the Okanagan and they grow all types of fresh fruit and fresh vegetables, I'm really looking forward to eating local food. Peaches and plums and pears and oranges, you name it. They grow everything here. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I want to dig into some wild game. I want to try and find some sources, too, because there's a lot of hunting around here. A lot of Americans come up, and there's a lot of local people, you know, walking around. Everyone's got a truck and probably a gun mounted on the back of it, you know, like those hunters love their hunting. So I guess they hunt for moose and elk, maybe bear, although I think we should try and keep the bears alive. But wild game is pretty hard to beat when it comes to comparing that to the feedlot, you know, hamburger that you see, you know, under the lights in the stores.
Yeah, and another thing, I'm a little concerned, but I shouldn't be thinking about this, snakes, rattlesnakes around here. And you know me, I can handle bugs, I can handle spiders, but the snake thing really gets to me, so I'm going to have to overcome that one or wear high boots.
I don't think you'll ever see one or hear of anyone seeing one. They've kind of been driven out into the hills. Now, if you walk up into those hills, you might come across one, which would be kind of cool. I wouldn't mind seeing one.
Yikes.
Just to observe them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to stay away.
Right.
I'll leave them alone and they can leave me alone.
Ruby and I can go on one of those hikes.
There you go.
You can stay at home and watch us on Skype.
Sounds good to me.
What else is going on?
You're going to Hawaii for a mentorship program. That's pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Never a day passes by where I don't think about Hawaii. It's the land that I love. And I'm going to definitely catch some waves, do some body surfing, and we're going to hit the gym and do a mentorship program. And, of course, if anyone out there is interested in that, 5 days, the 5 Steps for Health program. What a great way to connect. And, of course, we're going to train together. I don't just tell people what to do, but we train as partners in the gym together. I think that's the missing link in the personal training model. They don't train with their clients.
Well, they just have so many of them. And when I train, I am not a personal trainer, I am a teacher. And my whole goal for having a client is to teach them so that they can go on their own. I don't want to babysit them, I teach them. And I think that's, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it, a lot of personal trainers I see, they're doing the same thing all the time with their clients, and they're not using the weights, they're using the balls and the elastic bands, which are fantastic, don't get me wrong, but I don't see them doing deadlifts, benches, and squats, and, you know, this classic weight training.
Yeah, it's been abandoned, completely ignored, and it's not as...
And they've even, you know, I've even heard people say, a deadlift, well, you shouldn't be doing that, that's bad for your back.
Right.
I've actually heard a personal trainer say that.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, oh, boy. Now, hello, if you're doing it wrong and you're lifting too much weight, you need to learn the proper technique, of course, with anything that you do.
Well, of course, everything is wrong when you do it wrong, and there's a lot of great stuff that is fantastic when you do it right, better than anything else you can do. And the squat, deadlift, and bench are the supreme lifts in the gym. And if you're not doing those, and if you don't know how to do them, and if you can't do them, then there's something wrong.
Right. Well, just like me with doing the squat, I do the overhead squat now.
Yes.
Because the traditional squat wasn't working for me. So I still squat and do lunges and everything else. But anyway, that's that. Now also, which is very exciting, is the PSN, the Principles of Sports Nutrition course, is getting a launch in Canada with InfoFit.
Yes, full program, the PSN, the Turnstile ready-to-go teaching program is now ready to download. So if you're a CSNA master or if you are a CSNA student, you need to get your CSNA master's and then make application as a CSNA master teacher and a teaching certificate that you need to go along and then meet the requirements. And then you download the audio material, the teaching materials, the exams, the assignments, and everything, and you're good to go. All you need is a classroom and market yourself and start drawing students in and making some money and enjoying teaching, because teaching is its own reward. And remember, teaching is the best way to learn anything about anything. If you want to learn something about something, then teach it. Teach it to people.
And on that note, on that same note, I'm getting quite a lot of inquiries myself about menopause. And I think this might be the route that I might start doing more lectures on and maybe writing about a little bit more, because I never even thought about the menopause thing going through it. I mean, I always joked about it, but, you know, a lot of women are asking me, how did I do it without any side effects and, you know, how I went through it naturally. So that's very interesting.
Well, that will be one of our electives, and you can certainly contribute and work on that, hon.
Yeah.
Because with our new website, we have a whole new course structure. We have the CSNA, we have the CSNA Masters, and then the CSNA Master Teacher, the three different programs. Those are the mainstay. Then we're going to have a whole series of electives, and they will draw from the Sports Nutrition Reference Guide, which I just finished, which is 1,046 pages.
Of course.
So you buy that reference guide as a PDF. You can print it out, and I've got it printed out in front of me. It's just absolutely a wonderful reference guide. There's a ton of information in it. And so once you've got that reference guide, you just choose your elective, say on thyroid health or weight loss or whatever ones we come up with, say menopause. And then you go inside and listen to audio tutorials from experts who talk about those topics.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to find maybe a doctor to go into detail on menopause.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And then, so they would then listen to that audio, they would read about it in the text and the reference guide, and then there would be a short exam. And then we would make sure that would have continuing education credits for the trainer, so that you might get a couple of credits by doing that little mini course. And it'll be very cost effective, too.
Of course.
So that's going to be cool. We're going to have a whole series of those, and I'm really looking forward to the new website. I've been working hard on it, spending lots of hours into the wee hours of the night, all that.
We certainly have. And one of the things that we always must learn when we're doing business of any sort is things always take three times longer than you anticipate when it comes to business. So if you're already gung-ho and getting frustrated because things aren't happening as fast as you want them to, just relax and have hope that it's going to happen. So, you know, that's one thing that I've learned over the years. In all my years, I've learned to be more patient, and patience is a virtue. And things always take a little bit longer than you anticipate, but it's for the best. It's going to be a great website, right?
Absolutely. Everything that we do takes longer than I think the world wants. Sometimes people get impatient, but remember, we're building pyramids here, and they weren't built overnight. And they tend to stand for a long time when they're built correctly. So let's wrap it up. What is your final word?
My final word is by Harriet Ann Jacobs. The beautiful spring came, and when nature resumes her loveliness, the human soul is apt to revive also. And that's it. And that's all. There ain't no more.
Well, it's nice to hear you singing, dear.